I got here this morning for early service, and I looked down at my pages during the first hymn, and I counted 3 pages, and I was supposed to have 4 pages. I was like, oh my gosh, there's no time to go home because I've skipped half the service at this time. Anyway, luckily I had my computer in the car, and I went out and got it. So I had three pages here and a computer here. It was, God was watching out for me. Anyway, good morning. It's a beautiful day. I'm trying to relax myself. I got a bit choked up this morning, so we'll go with it and we'll see what happens. Anyway, 2 verses. One inspired me, and one I'll talk about a little bit later. Micah 6:8. He has shown you what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And the second one, Luke 12:48. To whom much is given, much is expected. So 3 words. I have just 3 little words for you today, and that's all. Not much, but hopefully these 3 words will add up to be greater than the sum of their parts. Just like your pledge or your tithe, when given freely or even hesitantly, your offering and my offering and everyone else's offering, no matter what the amount, is greater than the sum of our offerings together. Hopefully you've heard of the loaves and fishes stories. I'm not going to retell it to you, but it's something like that. So 3 words. Number one, UMCOR. It's not really a word, it's an acronym. Hopefully you're familiar with it, the United Methodist Committee on Relief. I was reminded of these following facts a few weeks ago in our John Wesley Sunday School class. UMCOR, the Methodist Church's widely respected international disaster relief and development organization, is usually the first to respond to a disaster and the last to leave after the mess has been cleaned up. And they don't stop there. Often they stay behind and help clean up the lives of those people whose physical property has been destroyed. UMCOR is able to spend 100% of designated donations on the projects its donors specify. 100%. Why is that? That's because part of what you give to St. Matthew's goes to pay an apportionment to the larger United Methodist Church. And that apportionment is used to support ministries such as UMCOR, so that they can in turn use their direct donations in the most effective manner possible, greater than the sum of its parts. Second word, sustaining. I'll assume many of you are familiar with WBUR, one of our local NPR stations. If you've listened to any NPR station, you'll know that they have to fundraise a lot. Or at least it seems like a lot. I know they fundraise more than St. Matthew's does. That is, more than once a year. Think about that next year when we start this process all over again and you roll your eyes and you vow you're going to skip church the next week. Only once a year. But that's not actually my point here. I want to share with you WBUR's most recent fundraising idea, which was give less, do more. This advice, give less, do more, is not new to me. I've been a sustaining member of a Methodist church since I was 27 years old. The memory's just a bit rusty, but I do recall that many years ago, as a single, newly employed nurse, I decided I had to get serious about giving and make a commitment. So I committed to myself and in prayer to God that I would give 10% of my income to charitable work that was either a ministry of a church or went to help those less unfortunate. Immediately, I set up an automatic debit from my bank to my church, and I've been a sustaining member for more than one church or organization ever since. So while give less might not actually be accurate from a calculation point of view, when you give regularly and you pledge to continue that giving so that St. Matthew's can count on and plan its mission around a regular flow of income, you really are doing more with your money. Number 3. For these next thoughts, I have to credit Michael, my husband. Due to his travel schedule, he couldn't join us and share this time with me, but he does join us in spirit. He also edited my words here, so he's with us for sure. Number 3, steward. Stewards, as in stewardship. Remember the Bible verse I mentioned earlier, Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, much is expected. To me, this passage is not only a directive to give as much as it is a confirmation that what I do have has been given to me to manage or to steward. And I am to steward those gifts in an intentional, mindful manner, be it money, time, talent, or all three. Because of Michael's work with the World Bank and our extended families living in the great countries of Australia and Texas, our family has been blessed to travel and live abroad more than once. In 2007, we moved to Macclesfield, England, and bought a house. Only in hindsight were we able to tell that buying a house in 2007 was probably not a good idea, but that's another story for a later time. So we find ourselves in a 125-year-old red brick Victorian, lovely house, previous owner had renovated most of it, and we moved right in. Soon enough, though, we had to replace the original slate roof. During the long process of having this roof replaced, we jokingly commented that it was too bad our first contribution to the house was so unsexy. It wasn't a kitchen or even a bathroom. After all, we wouldn't be inviting friends over for the great reveal. That led to another thought, though. It occurred to us that in the 125 years this house had been standing, there had already been so many renovations made to it and the small parcel of land that it stood on. Once we were done with it, another owner would take over. And after that, another owner, and so on, and so on. We were not as much owners of this property as we were stewards of this property. It had come before us, and it would last beyond us. It was therefore our job to do our best for the house while we lived in it, so that when the time came, we could pass it on to other stewards who would then have their chance to care for this beautiful property. So like this house, I believe we have all been entrusted with individual gifts and talents and are called to share or to steward these gifts, not to hoard them. Some of us are blessed with money or the ability to make lots of money. Everyone is blessed with talent, both skill and natural ability. And then there's time, the time we have to live on earth and be in relationship with others. These things have only been entrusted to us. They could and sometimes do disappear out of our lives as fast as they came in. So as a steward of what we have been given and in an attitude of gratitude for having been given it, I believe we are called to give it away. What does that look like? Well, as we heard a couple of weeks ago from Betsy Peterson, it looks like her sitting down and prayerfully writing her check every week for her offering. Or it looks like Dorothy Omer helping out with Sunday school year after year after year. This morning we heard from one of our young ladies, I don't know, she's 10, 11 maybe, playing the harp. It was beautiful music. That's what our giving looks like. It looks like Winston ringing the bells. It wasn't even a hard job, but he said, sure, I'll do it. Looks like Portia acolyting Isabella, being our great leader for us in the morning. It looks like a church providing free babysitting for its neighbors who live nearby. And all of those things are possible because you have pledged to steward your gifts and talents for others. Give with an attitude of gratitude so that others may live more full lives themselves. Those are my three words. Umcor, greater than the sum of its parts. Sustaining, always allowing St. Matthew's to plan based on your promised budget. And stewardship, an attitude, giving with an attitude of gratitude for us, so that others may live. Now it's your turn. I hope you will prayerfully consider this next week how you want to steward what you have been given. Thank you.